Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here, and we'll say welcome to those who are watching online today. We're always glad to have you. And I know we got some extra people here today because of the kids. They did a great job, didn't they? They're so awesome, and I appreciate the appreciation you showed them. You might remember to say thanks to the tall people who have been working with them for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I want to say thank you to you parents who have made the effort to get them here weeks and weeks and weeks so they could practice and get ready for what they brought us today. What a joy it is to have them. And like I said in the prayer, maybe we could all do well to learn to worship a little bit more freely the way that they do. I love these little ones down the front row here. Boy, they were just getting into it. I loved it. It's fun to watch. Well, I don't know about you. Number one, my Bible will not open to anything but Ephesians anymore. You know, it just, we've been going there for so long. But we're going to give Ephesians a little bit of a break during Advent and Christmas season. And I promise you, we will come back to it when we get into the new year. We're not forgetting where we've been. We want to build on all the great things that we have learned through that. But today, I want us to just think about where we are today in this season of the year. Because we have a little more going on today in our service, I'm going to give you a little present today before Christmas, a short sermon. Don't get used to it, okay? I really can't believe that we are where we are in the month, that it is Thanksgiving time, 2021, and the calendar, the pages just turn so quickly. And if the change of seasons doesn't give you a whiplash, then maybe this fact will. Tomorrow, we decorate the church for Advent and Christmas season. That's because even though we just have a Thanksgiving this week, Advent starts next Sunday, and we're just marching forward to the end of the year. You know, I love Christmas, and I can't wait to be here to celebrate. It's always very special at Washington Avenue. And I'm really aware of something. It almost gets me choked up a little bit. I'm aware of how different things are this year than they were last year at this time. Remember, it seemed like every other person I knew last year at this time had COVID, and it seemed like we were still trying to kind of figure out how to navigate all of that, and we didn't have vaccines yet, and it had been a really rough, long, hard year, and at the end of the year, we didn't get really any break from it. It was just peaking and climbing, didn't get to do a lot of the normal things we do for Thanksgiving and Christmas. It was a tough, tough season. And I know that we're not done with COVID, and it may not be done with us, but man, God has shown us some grace this year. And I'm so thankful for where we are compared to last year, and that we're going to get to do some of the things, Lord willing, this year that we missed so badly a year ago. Well, I do want to talk about Thanksgiving today. It is this week, of course, and as holidays go, there's a lot to be said for Thanksgiving, isn't there? It's one of the few holidays that hasn't been commercialized to death. I know that the grocers and the people in the food business make a lot of money during Thanksgiving, but it still is one of the few holidays where we really kind of just come together. It's a time when families get together. It's a time when friends get together. Fellowship is a huge part of the feasting and the footballing and all the stuff that's going to happen in the coming week. And I hope that more than all those things, as the kids were trying to point out to us earlier, I hope that we get together and we remember to celebrate God's goodness. Hasn't God been good to us? I hope that you can see it. It's what we're supposed to do at Thanksgiving. And I want to warn you today, in just this brief time that I spend with you, I want to warn you that if we fail to be a grateful people, if gratitude is not something that not only characterizes this week, if gratitude is not a part of our practice and our heartbeat, we have missed a tremendous blessing. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Most of you know, of course, Thanksgiving holiday is based on a 400-year-old American history that way too many have forgotten or seem to want to cancel, like so many other things in culture, or rewrite because it maybe doesn't fit into some politically correct frame, or it may be seen as one more opportunity for critical race theorists to prove racial privilege, or maybe there's just too much prayer and God and Bible and Jesus in it, there's a lot of reasons the secular world doesn't care much for this holiday. But without telling you the whole story, the gist of Thanksgiving and the holiday is that exactly 400 years ago, 1621, do you realize that? 400 years ago, this day centered around a brave but beleaguered band of British colonists who had boldly sailed to America primarily to escape religious persecution. Now, there are a lot of people who want to rewrite that, but that's what history tells us and shows us. They went to find a brave new world where they could worship God freely without the hindrance of king and country. And that they did. And we should be glad that they did, right? Because we're here. Now, for that group of people, I can't imagine what it was like. I can't imagine the hardships that they faced. It probably may not have felt like God was blessing or endorsing their faithful campaign when calamity struck them hard the first winter they were there, claiming half of the lives of all of the colonists. And then another winter was closing in quickly. But just at the right time in the process, God had sent friendly Indians of the Wampanoag tribe. Say that 12 times in a hurry and you won't be able to. These Indians, I know we're supposed to call them Native Americans now, but I'm old, I call them Indians. They showed up just in time to help the new colonists learn, among other things, agricultural skills and the hunting skills that were necessary to survive in this country. And so these peoples gathered together, as different as they were, natives and colonists, and they gave thanks to God for his bountiful provision. And it wasn't because of how many funerals they'd had that year. It was in spite of how many funerals they'd had that year. Just amazing to me to think about it. Well, if America's first settlers could give thanks for their meager harvest after experiencing so much hardship and grief and challenge the previous year, I think we should be overwhelmed with gratitude for what we have. Don't you? We live in America. Man, our country has a lot of faults, but you know what? It's still the best one going. Everybody wants to be here. There's a reason for that. Yes, there are a lot of faults. We have Bibles that talk out loud sometimes. That's not a fault. That's a blessing. He's still talking. Don't you love technology? In the first service, it's usually some little old lady who can't hear it ringing, and it just keeps ringing. Where was I? Overwhelmed with gratitude. That's it. Think about what we have in America. We are, by so many standards, at least one of the wealthiest nations on the face of the planet. The very poorest people in our country live at a standard of living that is much, much, much higher than many of those I've seen in other parts of the world, like slums in Kenya, for example, or in living in trash dumps in Haiti. It's just incomprehensible almost how hard it is for a lot of people in this world to stay alive. We have been blessed with prosperity, and sometimes I know that's a double-edged sword, and you could easily argue that having the material blessings hasn't blessed us spiritually in lots of ways. We could talk about all of that, but just think about what we have. Think about what we've been given. Think about what a privilege it is to live in this nation. We should be overwhelmed with gratitude. And we simply must pause to give thanks often to the giver of every good gift for our incredible abundance. You were not born here by accident. And that makes you not only highly resourced and highly prospered, it makes you highly responsible in the ways that you share those resources with other people here that have less and people around the world, and use those resources to further the proclamation of the gospel. Hebrews 12:28 is one verse among so many in the Bible that talks about thanksgiving. I'm going to read it paraphrased from the Living Bible. It says very simply this: since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. Now, it's not talking about our national kingdom. It's talking about our heavenly kingdom. As citizens in the kingdom, as people in Christ, we have this earthly conflict sometimes between living here and living spiritually on a different plane. But that verse is pretty clear. We have a heavenly kingdom that nothing can destroy. Therefore, we should please God. How? By serving him with thankful hearts. Do you see the connection there? It pleases God when we serve him with thankful and grateful hearts. Scripture echoes many, many times and places this idea that our thankful hearts are pleasing to God the Father. It just makes sense, right? We're moving toward Christmas, and of course, all of us experience birthdays and special events, and often we will give gifts. You know, I am so glad that I didn't kill my children because I get to give gifts to my grandbabies. And it's a wonderful thing. And I can't go anywhere where I don't see things and think, oh, I want to buy that for my granddaughters. You know, it's really a sickness almost. But and they're little still, but they're learning, thankfully, that the way to ensure that granddad keeps spending stupid money to buy them stupid gifts they don't need is when I give them something, all they have to do is run up and give me a hug. And they have reinforced the behavior, and I will keep doing it, right? But it makes sense. And their gratitude, in the ways that they give it as a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, their gratitude pleases me, right? It pleases me. When you give your children gifts, your grandchildren gifts, and one of them responds enthusiastically, thank you for this. I really wanted this. I really needed this. We're gratified. Likewise, the Heavenly Father is pleased when his children serve him with thankful hearts. And you know, if you want to do a little diagnosis of your heart, thankful hearts are like the Father's heart when they mirror his mercy and his grace and his generosity. And if there's one quality I would encourage you to cultivate in your life, if it's not there, is the habit of gratitude. It's so easy, isn't it, to become just whiny and lament all of the things that are wrong and mixed up about our world and the system in our country and all the hardships that do come from time to time. It's easy to get very negative. We become Eeyores. Oh, bother. Right? And some days I can be an Eeyore, but cultivate that heart of gratitude because it will serve you well. And it will keep you joy-filled. I've never known a grateful, thankful person who was not spiritually healthy. The two kind of go hand in hand. You know, I'm impressed with grateful people. I'm also very amazed and impressed and certainly blessed by people who make generosity seem easy. Have you ever known someone like that? They're always giving stuff away. And once in a while, you will bump into someone that gives. I mean, God has blessed them incredibly, and yet they understand they're not a lake. They're not just supposed to keep all of that themselves. They let it flow right through. And the more God gives them, the more they give away. And I think that's exactly why God has blessed them that way. I heard a story recently about a man named Owsley Brown Frazier. And if my parents had named me Owsley, I probably would not be a grateful person. Okay? But Owsley Frazier is notable because he was one of the wealthiest men in Kentucky. Also, he was reputed to be one of the most generous. Frazier is said to have given more than $500 million away during his lifetime to charity, to church, to causes. I can't even think about the number of zeros in $500 million. That doesn't compute in my head. But isn't it awesome to see someone that's been blessed exponentially and understands his responsibility then is to pass it on? I love that. But you know, even though you might think it would be easy to be someone who had that kind of money, and you may think, man, I could be happy every day, and God, if you gave me that kind of money, I would give all of it. I know you can, you know, we think it'd be so fun and so fine. You know, most of the people I've known in life, and I've not known many, most of the people I've known that are incredibly wealthy, live under a burden. Dealing with that money is hard. But you know, even though he had all the money in the world, even rich people get sick. Toward the end of Fraser's life, he was so crippled by arthritis that he was confined to a wheelchair and lived in constant pain. Speaking to a friend of Fraser's, one man remarked, "Oh, I bet Owsley Fraser would have given up half of his material possessions just to have his health back." And the friend immediately shook his head and responded, "No, I guarantee you he would have given all of it just to be able to walk across a room without pain." We take health for granted, don't we? Would you agree? We take it for granted. So some of you don't. Some of you don't because you've fought health battles. And you know how hard it can be. Some of you, given the choice, and if you had the means, would pay almost anything for restored health. I did a funeral here yesterday for a really sweet 55-year-old woman, mother, grandmother, wife from our church. She's battled cancer for several years now. How much do you think that she or her kids or grandkids or husband would have given if they could have been guaranteed a cure? Anything and everything that they had. We take our health for granted. And so this week, I want to challenge you. I hope that you do this occasionally. You need to get a blank sheet of paper and a pen, and you sit down somewhere and start making a list of things you're thankful for. Make the time to do that. Write it down, because otherwise it's not as real. But when you start to make that list, things you're thankful for, if you are healthy, you might start right there. Because we often don't remember that good health is such a blessing until we've lost it. There's a thing that happens, I think, to people that live in wealthy countries like America. We have blessing blindness. We've gotten so used to having everything that we think we need and most of what we want that we don't even see it as a blessing anymore. And I'm not talking about big things. I'm thinking, you know, you go to your house and you get up and you turn a faucet and water comes out. How often do you give thanks to God for that? Or you turn the hot water side and hot water comes out. Do you know there are relatively few places in the world where that actually happens? You walk into your house when it's cold, like it's been getting at night, and you flip the switch and the thermostat clicks and the heater comes on. How often have you stopped at your thermostat and given thanks to God that you have one and that it works? How often do you get in your car? I know cars can be a real pain sometimes, but you know, 999 times out of 1,000, you turn the key and the thing starts. Have you thanked God for that? Blessing blindness. How often do you look at the people that God has placed in your life? How often are you overwhelmed with how blessed you are to have them in that circle? So let's open the eyes of our hearts this Thanksgiving. Let's be grateful for the blessings that we tend to take for granted every day. Making a list really helps. Thank the Lord for your good health. Thank the Lord for your income, for a warm house to live in during the winter and a cool house to live in during the summer. Thank God for a full closet. Any of you have space in your closet? Things in my closet just multiply on their own. My garage too. Thank God if you have a soft bed, if you have a packed freezer, refrigerator, you open up and stuff's in there. Some of it may be green and moving around, but it's there. Thank God that you have a loving family. Thank God that you live in a still free country that even with its problems is the best one going. Thank God for an alert mind and a dependable job, and the list, I hope for you, will go on and on and on, and I hope that you will find yourself filling out both sides of that sheet of paper because you can. Remember, as you enumerate those blessings, that the best blessings we've been given are, in fact, not the tangible and tasteable ones. Do I need to remind you of the truckload of blessings that we've been reading about since August when we jumped into Ephesians chapter 1? My goodness, we found out that we have all of these spiritual blessings in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing. It says we've been chosen to be holy and blameless. We've been adopted to be His sons and daughters. We have redemption and forgiveness. We have the grace of God lavished upon us. He gives us wisdom and understanding. He makes known to us the mystery. We're made heirs. We're marked in Him, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the list just goes on and on. So at the very top of our list, make room to write Jesus. And let's give thanks for our Savior. Through His atoning death on the cross, Jesus has graciously provided us with the forgiveness of all sins and the hope of eternal life when we die, the promise of that, and ultimate purpose just that will get us out of bed every day and cause us to go to work or do the tasks that He's laid before us. Let's thank Him that He took outsiders and enemies and made us heirs of His riches and the focus of His grace. Let's thank Him that through Christ's blood we are His sons and daughters. Now, I am not a guy that sticks his head in the sand. I'm a realist quite often, and I know in a crowd this large, there are some of you in here that aren't feeling especially thankful. And I know that for some of you, because of the circumstances in your life, finding things to be thankful for this week or this season might be a pretty tall order. There are lots of reasons that holiday times are especially tough when combined with grief or loss, or when you find yourself in a prolonged season of personal struggle or darkness. Well, let me just say, you may need to make that list worst of all, because you really need to be focusing on those blessings. But if you're alone or struggling with discouragement this Thanksgiving season, meditate on a verse that Paul the Apostle gives us. And as you repeat it over and over and over, you'll be able to give thanks. Here's what Paul said in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He has even more, though. He says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, give us graciously all things? You know, there are a lot of things that come to mind that we can be thankful for. I'm going to give you, as we wrap this up, five things that you can always be thankful for, no matter what your present circumstances, okay? These are all-purpose, always appropriate, okay? Five things, real quick. Number one, you can always be thankful for the grace that God has shown you in your life. Let that soak in for a minute. Grace. Number two, you can always be thankful for the plans that God has for your life. You're not just a speck of biology at the hands of fate. God, the Father, the Creator of all things, knows you personally. He knows the number of the hairs on your head, which is a small number for some of you. And He has plans for you. Grace, plans. Number three, you can always be thankful for His promise to never leave you alone. I know life gets lonely sometimes and it gets hard sometimes, but you are not in this alone. And God has promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. Number four, you can always be thankful for the changes that He is making in you. Anybody in here perfect yet? You can leave now, right? None of us are perfect, but thank God, little by little, we're becoming more like Him. He's not done with you yet. You're a work in progress, but He is the master artist, and He is going to continue to craft and shape and do whatever He has to make your reflection look more like His. be thankful for the changes. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes they come at a great price to us. Number five, you can always be thankful for the home. I'm not talking about the earthly one. The heavenly home that he has prepared for you. When I did that funeral yesterday, I do funerals so often, sometimes two or three times a week, right here. And families sit right here. And naturally, they're grieving, they're hurting. But what a wonderful truth it is. If we're celebrating the life of a follower of Jesus Christ, we know the rest of the story. And it's true for them who have died and they've gone on. It's also true for each one of you. That home is promised to us. It's ready for us when we need it. What a great reason to be thankful. So there's five. You can add to that list too. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening to you, five things. You can be thankful for grace and God's plans and God's promises and the changes that he's doing and the heavenly home that he's prepared for you. There's first five things to go on your list. Every day you can be thankful for those. God's word promises that life in a fallen world is going to be hard. And there's so much brokenness in our world, we're going to get cut by the brokenness. We're going to get hurt by it. But he also promises that after we're done here with this struggle, the very, 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 very best is yet to be. Because of Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that one day God will wipe every tear from our eyes and there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. We will reign with Christ forever in his heavenly kingdom. How good is that? How good is that? So this Thanksgiving season, let's agree with the Apostle Paul, who in 2 Corinthians says this, I just sense he's overwhelmed with his blessings. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God indeed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for maybe helping us to be a little bit more aware of our blessings. Too often we are blind to them. So many days pass without a word of thanks on our lips. And sadly, not many days pass without words of complaint. Lord, let our hearts be like yours. Help us to see what we need to see. And Lord, I pray especially for those here who are having a hard time seeing anything good about where they are in life right now. Remind them of these five truths. Help them to have open eyes that see beyond the circumstance. And help us, Lord, to remember that as wonderful and precious and joy-filled as even this life can be right now, it is but a fragile shadow of what you've prepared in the future for those who love you, for those that you love. Thank you, Father, for caring that much for us. I pray that as we walk forward through a week that we call Thanksgiving, that our hearts and our eyes would be open and that they would be overfilled and overflowing with gratitude. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hey, church, we're so glad you tuned in today. If you need prayer or have questions about this week's message or what it means to follow Jesus, you can message us on Facebook or visit our contact page on our website at whackonline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, we have the next steps available for you on our website as well. Remember, we are real people experiencing real grace. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.